It says record.
Yeah, today is Wednesday, May 1st, 2019.
Yeah. May Day.
May Day.
Yeah. Well, why don't somebody lead us in some prayer? The devil has been kind of rampant. Let's have the Lord take care of him.
Oh, yes, Lord, by your Spirit.
Yes.
Lord, we ask for your presence, Lord, your wisdom, your truth. We ask for light from heaven, O Lord. We love the way that your Spirit flows on these meetings. We ask that that would happen today, O Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, if the enemy would seek to come and hinder in some kind of way, confuse, throw some kind of darkness on the light, O Lord. Lord, that your Spirit would just hold back that, O Lord. Hold it back by your Spirit, Lord. Do that good work. We don't know, but you do. So, Lord, we ask for your hand of protection from any ways that the enemy would seek to take advantage. Surely we've gained his interest. So, Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that we would have that path that is your path, that golden path, set out before us, O Lord, that we would stay on that path and that we would come to the place that you would have us to be, Lord, by your Spirit. Amen.
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 I looked and looked and looked for a scripture that I knew exactly where it was. You know, have you ever done that? I knew exactly where it was. And I thought, no. I know where that verse is. It's in, you know, John 1:18 that we're familiar with. Well, John 1:17 we're also familiar with. It says, grace and truth came. Or no, the law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. There's an old saying that says, in the Old Testament is a truth concealed, while the New Testament is a truth revealed. And so the Old Testament is spiritual, it is truth, only it is concealed to the point that the only one that ever lived by it was Christ. It is truth. It's just concealed. And the understanding of the New Testament is what causes us to understand the Old, which is, you know, it's pretty complicated. And so then the next verse says, no man has seen God at any time, verse 18, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, not understanding fully what that means, he has declared him. And Jesus said, no man knows the Father except the Son, and whosoever the Son will reveal him. So it requires Christ, it requires a New Testament to understand God and to understand the Old Testament. And so, anyway, it's major. It's a major thing. Now, the sacrifices were done away with when John the Baptist came. It says the law and the law and the
prophets
were until John. So when John the Baptist stepped in on the scene, he began to preach something that was brand new. But so did Jesus. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And so that was basically what John the Baptist was preaching while he was baptizing. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so, you know the verse that says that the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time, the violent would take it by force. And I'm not exactly sure what that means, you know, but who the violent are, you know, I've never really understood that, but the aggressive, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
At least it's that.
Yeah, it's at least the aggressive. And so the sacrifices were done away with at the time of John. After that, there was no need of sacrifices. There were no need of sacrifices then, because they weren't doing it right anyway. But there is something that it came to me the other day that we're all familiar with. It's Romans chapter 12. Remember how it's Romans chapter 12? Oh. That didn't feel really good. I have felt better things. I have to use these in order to try to see. I had perfect glasses, perfect prescriptions, and he would not put them on the right eye.
Yeah.
I couldn't get a chance. Okay, here's chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we still have the sacrifice, but now it has changed to something else. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we are to be living sacrifices. Which means what? What does that mean? That we present our bodies unto the Lord as an animal or something that has been sacrificed that is dead. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that we live no longer to the flesh. I think it says that right here. I'm not sure. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what? This verse has been going over and over in my mind for the last week. Romans 12. And anyway, the last verses, I told Candy the other day. I said, you know what? We need to read the other verses in Romans 12 in relationship to what we are doing and what God is doing with us in our services. See, something profound is happening in the services. And God is preparing us for something, and I'm not so sure that we're totally willing to do what He wants done. But He wants something to happen. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Okay, a good number one position. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay, living sacrifices. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Major. Now, I don't know if you're following what is being said here, and I'm having a hard time reading, but I'm doing the best I can. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy in according to the proportion of faith. Well, you don't. We're coming to the realization that prophecy is not a prediction of the future, although it can be. Prophecy is, according to the scriptures, it is to edify, it is to exhort, and it is to comfort. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 14. And I was never familiar with that. I've never heard that. It took the scriptures to reveal to me what 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about when it says, let us prophesy. Seek prophecy. And when they started talking, when they started prophesying in the scriptures, what they're doing is giving revelation and teaching and learning and whatever else. The prophets were actually teachers. the reason they had such an important function is because he said if you speak in tongues, nobody's going to understand what you're saying. You speak, speak unto God and speak to yourself. But when you speak, when you prophesy, then the whole body is benefited. And the body is not benefited if you give a prediction. That kind of a thing. The body is benefited when you, by the Spirit, get revelation and truth and you present it to the body. Do you follow me? So that you may all learn, it says. That's what prophecy is, was meant to be, and even in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And so anyway, or ministry, verse 7, let us wait on our minister, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts, and these are all things that are done by the prophets. He that gives, that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. What does that mean? What is dissimulation?
Making false statements of some sort.
Without hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
What, 9?
In verse 9, yeah.
Well, mine it does say without hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. hate that, or abhor that which is evil, cleave to that, or hang on to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, to honor, in honor preferring one another. I'm doing the best I can. In leaven, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality, etc., etc. So these are more parts of what God wants in the body. But anyway, we are to be living sacrifices. And that began to get a hold of me. And it's like, God wants us to overcome the world. He wants us to overcome our flesh. And yet that is not a teaching mostly for in the church. You know what I mean? Make this church look good, or this flesh look good. You know, doctored up. Keep it healthy, but as far as bringing it into subjection to God and as a living sacrifice, that's not part of the program. Yeah.
Mm. It's interesting that you were in the part of Romans that it's talking about gifts between different people and everything, because I was in 1 Corinthians, and this thing kind of come out, and it was, you know, we've really been focusing on prophecy, you know, prophesying,
yeah,
and whatnot. And I fully have that. I mean, I know that's just very, very, very necessary. But that isn't the whole body, because in 1 Corinthians 12 it breaks it down and it says if the body and all the members are going to function, then each one has to have different gifts. And I kind of was hoping, if you guys don't mind repeating, but I'd like to bring it on Sunday when some of the others are there, because we want to keep our focus on prophesying, but at the same time, I think everyone should be asking the Lord what He's given, what He might have for them. Because it makes it very plain that all of these gifts are supposed to be operating by somebody.
not all by one person, by different ones. And that is what makes the body complete, with Christ as the head. And, you know, when it breaks it all down, I'd have to almost read the whole chapter, but if you go to 12 and read it, I think the Spirit will bring it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So because I'm thinking there's probably people that are sitting there and they're going, geez, I just can't do that. I'm not made for this. Well, you don't want them to feel lesser or left out. So I think we need to start emphasizing that, hey, if this part of it is God is emphasizing prophecy, then also believe that He wants whoever else to start having their gift brought forth. And start asking the Lord for that, you know. Because it's obvious, prophecy is very, very important. But you can't just have prophecy. You know, you need the full, all of the gifts operating, eventually. I mean, you know.
I think that's good. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it kind of caught me, you know, the Spirit that, yes, this is and that's good, but you know, when I was reading, I'm thinking, yeah, but what about all this that it says is supposed to be happening at the same time?
That's the whole point of chapter 12 there.
Yeah.
It takes all of those aspects.
And then, of course, it goes into prophecy after that, and you know, but if people are operating in these gifts, I mean, there's word of knowledge, there's the manifestation of the Spirit to each one for the profit of all, the diversity of activities, difference of ministries, you know, that's how it starts out. One is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, you know, on and on. All by the same Spirit. Same Spirit that's saying prophesy, you know, or preach, or what, you know, what we're doing. Same Spirit wants to use all this other also. And before, you know, and then he goes on to say, you know, that these are all, they're members of a body, and you can't leave one less member for the body to be complete. And so they all have to be there eventually.
You know, Oscar, what is the body of Christ? Like, okay, for example, okay, we are Zion Christian Fellowship. So, is this, you know, like our body of Christ, or could the body of Christ be, you know, for example, okay, Charlie, he's the gift of healing, and then Johnny from Church B is a prophet, and Roger from a church, other church. So is the body of Christ, you know, one here, one there, one there, one there, one there, that makes the body of Christ? Or are we, let's say, Saint Christian Fellowship, the body of Christ? Now, this is a genuine question. I don't ask it.
Well, the way I see it from the Scripture, We're just a part of the actual body. The body of Christ, it's like huge. It's everyone in the world that's operating.
Okay.
I think. I mean, that's the way I see it. How else could it be, really?
I think that's right. And yet, chapter 12, it does use the analogy of a body. And it's pretty clear that it's what happens within a particular group, a particular meeting. You know,
because again, the one place will say, you know, hey, when you guys get together, so that's a togetherness. But you know, for example, Jerome Wiggins, he had a gift of healing, but did he have the gift of prophecy? I mean, did he also prophesy? And by prophesy, I mean, you know, preach the word and not say, you know, tell the future. But I don't know that he belonged to a church, did he? So he was a part of the body of Christ, but I don't think he had a congregate, a place with other gifts that he would gather together.
Well, here, let's read 12, 13, 14, because, for as the body is one and has many members, But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. But by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, so that makes a pretty big, you know, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I always...
And then it does go on to say, so when different members of body get together, this, you know, you should have this...
Sort of the various functions that are like a body.
Yeah, but it should be happening everywhere that way.
Right. Mm. I always kind of took the term, you're part of the body of Christ, to mean you were a believer.
Okay. Worldwide body
of
Christ.
Yeah, we're all members of the body of Christ. Now, as Ken just said, you know, Scripture points to a single body and then talks about the different functions of the body, the foot, the eyes, the ears, and how they're different but all necessary to make a complete. And then I think this chapter is speaking to the reminding us that, again, following on what Ken was bringing, was that while we talk about prophecy and maybe too much or overemphasize it, but there are other gifts. I mean, even in 1 Corinthians 12, it was saying, you know, miracles and intercession and, you know, other things and prayer. So, I mean, we have to be careful not to overlook one gift for the other, because the warning here is that all are needed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the fact that the focus is, there's been a reason that the focus has been on prophecy. I think God wanted to make it very, very evident that, you know, that. Well, and then now, you know, now that we've really been really focusing on that and got a really good, pretty good insight, not that we have it all, of course, but now it's maybe like, now I want you to start incorporating behind that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't want to be seeking one to the exclusion of the other.
Right.
Because exactly. You really don't want to be not open to God's will.
Because it can leave, because it will definitely leave other people within your body out of the picture.
Right.
You know? Okay.
And yet, I think there can be seasons in which one kind of predominates.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I feel I went through that. There are going through that.
Let me read a verse. Follow after charity, love. He said there's nothing greater than love, okay?
Yeah.
And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy.
Yeah, when I read that after I read all this.
On prophecy. And he says in verse 3, he that prophesies speaks unto men in to edify and exhort and comfort. Okay? So, emphasis on...
Yeah, I'm not lessening prophecy.
No. Mm-hmm. And then the other gifts... You know, in verse 12, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not that you be ignorant, and we have been. We've been ignorant in what we're now coming into.
Mm-hmm.
I've never understood that.
Yeah, well, that's the spirit we're all ignorant.
I always looked at prophecy as predictions of the future, and lo, thus saith the Lord, because that's all I've ever heard. I've been in meetings and one will prophesy, and you know what? Nothing you can put your fingers on.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hang on to it. It's like, thus saith the Lord. And you know what? I don't think the Lord said anything. But we have come into a revelation, a very important revelation. Let's see. Peter said, being born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible. So, do we want to mix in the corruptible ministries of the church with the incorruptible? Or do we have to have a foundation in the Word of God in order to minister any of these truthfully? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
I don't want to be in meetings. I mean, I've been in a lot of these meetings, even the jail ministries and so forth, and listen to the thing, what people have to say. We got people that don't believe in speaking in tongues. We got people that believe in it. We got people that that misuse it. Is that our body?
It's not very appealing if it is.
But it's not. That's not the body of Christ.
No.
The body of Christ is going to teach what Christ taught. They're going to believe what he said. Mm-hmm. They're going to go. They're going to find out what he said, and they're going to. You know what I mean? So what happened is God turned us in to the ongoing intake of his word. What's that do? What is that doing to us? That's giving us a foundation for prophecy. That also has to be the foundation for any of the gifts. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God. If you're going to have, if one of the ministries is going to be faith, don't you have to have the word of God as a foundation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Speaking the truth in love that you may grow up into him in all things, which is Christ. You know what I mean? Don't we have to have some qualifications for any of these ministries? And I'm saying that there may be other parts of this body that are scattered all over, but I'm thinking that a lot of those that we don't see as yet, they have a foundation of the scriptures inside of them that they're building on. And like this church that was, you know, we don't see exactly the way, this church down in Indiana that says one God and one Lord and so forth. Well, I think they're coming into some understanding. But you know what? A lot of that was still head knowledge, was it, Charlie?
Well, it seemed like. Yep.
Yeah.
A little bit. Really,
and so, does the scripture in Matthew 18:3, where it says, except you be converted and become a little children, does that mean anything? Does that mean anything? Yeah. That has to be a foundation, doesn't it?
Sure.
So we're going to approach the kingdom of God as little children rather than as educated idiots.
You know, Pharisees. I come across this scripture and I had to read it a couple of times to see if it was kind of contradicting. It says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes. So in other words, you know, but in understanding be mature.
Yeah.
So, but it's still saying the same thing because
yes, it is. Yeah,
that's,
you know,
in a different sense, I suppose.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
it's saying, you know, don't be a like growing up in malice because that's horrible. You know, that's
right.
Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But don't stay like without understanding, which means if you stay as a child, he'll keep giving you understanding.
Yeah.
You know, and then you'll be mature, more mature. Because it does say you should become mature.
Mm.
But always keep in your head that you're
yep.
still a little child, you know.
Well,
that
in
needs to hear
the fifth
and learn.
Chapter of Hebrews, it's the same thing. It says, you know, don't keep being a little children, grow up. By now you should be teachers of truth.
Right.
And all, and your babes. You haven't grown anywhere. You haven't gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So God doesn't want us to stay immature.
No.
No, we have to have the foundation of the word. I mean,
but that has to be the foundation.
Right. The first temptation Jesus has is that, you know, the enemy comes and tries to
twist
the word, and
yeah.
he has to refute him with the deeper understanding of what the word is. I mean,
you know,
your power comes from it's the two-edged sword. The power comes from the foundation of the knowledge of the word. And I don't mean just head knowledge, but you have to be grounded in it. And you have to be letting the Spirit
operate
what you know.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but I understood one time. I said, Jesus kept saying, it is written. You know, it is written. It is written. And I said, you know, he's saying it's the devil. You know who else said it is written?
Christ.
The devil himself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He stood there and he said, "It is written, he will give his angels charge over you." So he's not really ignorant of the scriptures.
No. Well, I guess he read it and it's there.
Yeah,
but then Jesus said, "Here, I'll give you the spiritual side of that. Don't tempt the Lord your God."
Mm-hmm.
That is written.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, the devil is not, you know, he's a mastermind. He's not sitting there ignorant.
And you know, I think we have to keep in mind, when it says a spiritual gift of wisdom or a spiritual gift of not, that's not natural knowledge. That's not human knowledge. That's mm-hmm. godly wisdom, godly knowledge. So you can have that and not be thinking, you know, well, we shouldn't be puffed up in our own knowledge. No, we shouldn't. But we should be built up in his knowledge
yeah.
and mm-hmm. wisdom.
The word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
Yep. And it's by the Spirit that it comes, so we know it's good.
Yeah, it says the word, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Then this has to be the foundation of everything that we do, which is what we knew. My foundation was the wisdom of Don Burnett. The greatness of the great teachers and the preachers and the, you know, men that I heard. What was the guy we used to go down and see?
Robeson?
Wilkerson. No.
Robeson. Well, I don't remember his first name.
Yeah.
James
Robeson. There you go.
He was a sweetheart. I always liked him.
I don't know James.
What was his name?
Robeson.
Robeson. I think he said Robeson.
Did he say Robeson?
I believe it. Yeah, because it was
his first name.
Mm-hmm.
James.
Oh, yeah, James Robeson. You know who he was?
You mean besides James Robeson?
His mother? No. His mother was going to have an abortion.
Oh.
And somebody talked her out of it. And that was him.
You know, he was, when we were, you know, with listening to him, he was coming into some new revelation stuff, but I think eventually he kind of got plateaued.
Well, the church does it.
Yeah.
If you want to be popular, you're going to have to stick with the church.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Expand all the way you want in this box.
Yeah.
Once you go out of the box, then you go, no.
If he wants to function as a television evangelist, he has to maintain a certain level of acceptability to the main church.
Yeah.
Do not have an unfolding revelation that becomes too radical.
Right.
You can't preach it, an unfolding revelation, if 90% of the people disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. You can bring it, it's just that it's not going to be received for a while.
It's going to be cut off.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. More than likely.
Keith, you were reading there from first chapter of the Gospel of John. It said the law came from Moses, but grace and truth came from Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Suggesting what the old covenant was what, not truth?
No.
Well, the law came from Moses. Grace and truth came from Jesus Christ.
It came What's by. I think it says it came to the same.
Okay.
You were by.
Okay. No truth for Moses? You know, No.
The Old Testament was truth.
There's another scripture that says
it came by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
There's a scripture that says, "Why do you hate me?" Jesus says, "Why do you hate me? A man that tells you the truth." It says Abraham did not do this. I tell you the truth. So you would think, yeah, it was Abraham lying? No, he wasn't lying. It's just he didn't give us the truth, you know. So the truth of Jesus, like I've said before, is not like it's right or wrong, a right or wrong thing, or a truth or a lie. It's a different truth. It's a life-given truth, which is different than telling the truth. You know, is my name Pablo? Yes, that's truth. But that truth is not life-given. So based on my thinking, it's just, you know, the Old Testament didn't give you the life-giving truth like Jesus gives you the life. Yes, that's just my take on it.
Nobody was saved by it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny, I stumbled across that...
That makes sense.
Yeah. Little section of scripture that kind of... One part of it especially caught me. It's 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and here's the one that caught me, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You know, I got a kind of a different insight to that. Because I think we tried to make Christ be there in a sense. But it says the spiritual rock that followed them. So is it this Christ who followed after them? But they had, and they were partaking of it, but it wasn't going to be theirs at that time.
It's a possibility.
You know?
I don't know.
And I think if they were in the right mindset, because it says some didn't. Oh, with most of them, God was not. But the ones that did, they're the ones that got brought forth into the kingdom when Christ died and rose again. And, you know. I mean, that's when their true salvation came, because there hadn't been a sacrifice for their perfect sacrifice yet. So anyway, that was just my take on that.
Yeah.
Getting back to this, Charlie was just saying something, but I don't know what reminded me of it. But when Moses said that God's going to raise up a prophet from among the people like him, and Moses said, when he comes, hear him. Mm-hmm. The difference between truth and truth. You know what I mean? Even if the truth was presented and they added 95%, here was coming truth 100%.
Yeah.
And you, I think it was read earlier, that with Christ came the kingdom of God. I'm not sure, but I don't think you see that ever mentioned
Never.
In the Old Testament.
I don't think ever.
Kingdom of God.
Yeah, well, that's certainly a theme. That's
You know.
Uh-huh. And I think Pablo's point is a good one. There's truth. Then there's life-giving truth.
Well,
you know, a quickening thing. Yes.
Jesus said, you know, he says, the words that I speak are spirit and life.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit and life. So the words that we get in the New Testament get turned into life. Where we might be unsure of what we got in the old.
Mm.
Plus, all that they were doing in the Old Testament never really conquered death.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. They were still held by that, enslaved by that sin and death. Mm-hmm. When Christ came, that's when death was defeated, it says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the sacrifices of animals, all it was doing was pushing sins forward.
Right.
Everything was being pushed forward until Christ came.
Yeah.
When he died on the cross, all of the sacrifices were complete. That was the end of
completing him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's all important. But
There's a but. There's a but to that? That's all important, but?
I didn't mean but.
Okay. I was away going, well, wait a minute. But to highlight, there is knowledge, and then there's spiritual knowledge. And there's truth, and there's spiritual truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we just constantly have to remind ourselves to be looking with the right eyes and the right thoughts, or we get trapped.
You know, going back a few minutes, the devil, he didn't lie when he told Jesus, or he told him when he tempted him. He did not lie. He told the truth. But he's a liar. You know what I mean? So anyone, you can. So truth. So that shows you the true truth. Jesus can speak the life-giving truth. The devil will say the truth, but it's not truth because it's out of whack. Is quoting scripture.
Yeah. It's kind of this. It goes along with why Paul couldn't stand that girl.
I was just thinking
saying what she was saying because it was coming from the wrong source.
Okay, mm-hmm.
And that's why he. And now it made finally. I don't know when. Well, all of a sudden one day I went, why does he? Why? And all of a sudden the answer was, because it's coming from a demon, basically,
mm-hmm.
and he's not going to allow that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. They were pretty good words, though.
Yeah, they were. I mean, it was like. So
what was she saying?
Well, she was saying this.
Oh, this is the living grace. This is the savior of the world, or whatever.
I thought she was. I thought she was boasting Paul, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. But everything she was saying was exactly what he was and was doing.
She said, this is a servant of the Most High God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hear him, you know, or whatever.
See, well, my take on it years ago when I first heard that is like, even though Paul was saying the right things, you know, Paul was, well, actually, even though Paul is sent by God.
Right. He wasn't saying it.
Yeah. This woman... The problem of the woman, the biggest, like you guys said, yes, whatever you said, yes, but the woman was saying, listen to Paul, listen to Paul, listen to Paul. And you do not ever want to say, listen to this man, listen to this man,
exactly.
Listen to this man.
Exactly.
Even though this man was sent by God, it was not Jesus. If you want to say, listen to man, you say, listen to Jesus. But no matter how anointed Paul is, I think it's flawed to say, listen to Paul, listen to Paul. The message is, listen to Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, or whatever you want.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But how do you...
And that may be it.
That might be one reason, but I see what you're saying, too.
Yeah. What kind of devious purpose could the enemy have in having this lady, you know, confessing what Jesus went to Paul is all about?
And maybe
it could
have been a twofold thing.
But maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe
Paul probably was thinking, well, first of all, you're a demon.
Right.
And you're trying to edify me.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was speaking the words God had given him.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You do live in
the woman.
Paul.
Paul, yes. Yeah. Paul, yes.
Yeah.
No problem with that.
I guess he rebuked her under the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Right.
He cast it out of her.
And that kind of goes back to, you know, Satan didn't lie. And the message behind that is there's truth, and then there's the whole truth.
Right.
And there's truth, and then there's truth from God.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right, so I mean, the devil, he's a liar. The devil was accurate. You know what I mean? He was accurate. He was correct. But he wasn't given as truth.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
I mean, isn't it true? You can read, it says you can read the letter and some things are going to be fact or whatever.
Right.
But
you can be correct.
You can be correct, but you might not have spiritual.
You might not have truth.
Truth.
Well,
in that word.
Well, this woman had to be, whatever she was doing, she had to be speaking by a demonic force.
Yeah, right. It said she was a divine, what did they call her, a diviner?
And remember how the
a fortune teller was it?
Something.
They were making money off.
Was it the same one? I don't know.
I think it was.
Okay. Yeah.
Where the heck is that?
You were on this all the time.
I'm slacking.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
But well, what would be the right keyword?
Let's see.
Listen.
I want to say it was a
Paul cast out.
Woman, listen to him in Google. Woman.
Probably aren't too many women in Acts, or it'd be a somewhat limited number of them.
Woman with spirit proclaiming or something. It could be an Acts. It could be in a lot of
sure
it anywhere.
Oh, I think it's Acts.
Excuse
me.
She phoned right after Paul.
Acts 16:17.
16:17?
Yes.
Kept crying out. These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Oh, that nefarious woman.
That's not it?
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, see, that's interesting because it says, and this she did, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So he got the discernment that it was a spirit.
No, he put up with it for a while.
Yeah, it says a couple days.
Many days.
Yeah, she was doing this for many days.
A slave girl having a spirit of divination.
There it was, yeah.
Who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune
telling.
When the girls. Owners, so that their hope of making money was gone, they ceased Paul.
Right. Boy, it's hard to find fault with what she said, though.
Yeah.
These men are bondservants of the Most High God,
mm-hmm.
who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation.
Well, there's other cases, too, that where the spirits were saying about Jesus.
Yeah, in the synagogue.
They were saying the same, they were saying things that were true in the same manner as this.
The only thing that I can point here is that it's like she's saying, listen to Paul, when even though Paul was sent by God, because everything that he was in.
Well, actually, there was more than Paul, though.
Yeah. We're proclaiming to you the way of salvation, boy.
Who brought, followed Paul and us. This girl followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are the servants of the Most High.
Yeah.
So
my Bible refers you to Mark 5, verse 7.
How many people in this generation, in churches, that you and I know of, how many people would welcome her in with open arms? This woman, she really knows who I am.
Yeah.
When Worley was her soul.
That's the other setting where,
where
Jesus cast that.
Yeah.
Spirit. Well, yeah. Basically, it was recognize the Christ for who he was.
Sure.
And said, is this a setting where it's not yet, why have you come? It's not yet time or something?
Hey, but it's not by the Spirit of God that it's being said.
Did you guys moved on from what we were talking?
We just moved to the
occasion when Jesus did the same thing.
Mark 5:7, where Jesus cast someone out.
Part of the synagogue?
Cast out a demon.
What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?
Oh, actually, this is when he was among the tombs.
Right. Now, it's interesting. That guy at the same time, which that's why I, people say, well, how can you be a believer and have demons? When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him.
Well, he knew who he was.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So he had a belief of some sort.
Well, he had he recognized him, yet he was being tormented.
Right. And right after that, he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High, I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Yeah. For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit."
Mm-hmm. I thought you guys were talking about the one when Jesus was in the synagogue and he said, and a person comes up and says, "I know who you are. You are the Son of the Most High God."
That is another.
It's probably another
and
one.
Then Jesus says, "Be quiet and come out of him."
Right.
So nothing untruthful about the woman that he said.
Nope.
Anyways, going back just back 1 second, he says that the woman that I said that she was saying, "Listen to Paul, listen to Paul." She didn't never really say according to this, "Listen to Paul." She says, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." So I don't think she was saying,
"No,
well, you should listen to Paul."
Right.
So,
well,
however, she's
saying this. He is the. Listen to him, because this is how salvation.
Well, right? No, she's saying it to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's not point.
It is so odd that the occasions when people have the clearest, sharpest, truest revelation of who Paul is or Jesus is, they're not being demon possessed.
Right.
What's that?
Not a real encouragement. So, the people who really knew who Jesus was,
right? They got it. They got the
demons.
Revelation.
Right. They were demon.
Well, which in its own twisted way makes sense. Right. Of course,
he's catching at the end there. It's crazy how, and then don't torment me though.
Well, they recognize the true power. I mean,
well, it's like because like, I know you know I'm not of the truth.
Even though I said who you are.
It's the same thing when he, you know, I'm Legion.
Yeah.
Recognizing immediately.
Yeah.
So obviously there's things, I guess spirits can see other spirits and recognize mm-hmm. them for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, so I've never been in that realm. I just have to take that as, yeah. So.
Yeah. Where's the one of the synagogue? Were you guys reading it?
No, we didn't get
this.
That.
Was a,
we did not get to the synagogue example.
Well, it says there will be many Christs. But don't go and follow them. Or don't run after them, I guess.
No, don't run after them.
And the only way we'll know the difference is the Word of God.
Yes, that's right. Or the Holy Spirit, it is. Yeah.
I was going to say, where's the horse? What kind of like stirrups? Yeah, Jeff, when I ran into him, he made mention of he really enjoys listening to the. He says, "I was listening, and I don't know if maybe you were talking, you know, started out or something and went a ways or whatever." And he said, and then all of a sudden, Pablo's talking. Where did he come from? Wasn't he there? Did he come in late or what? I saw, maybe, but sometimes, you know, everyone just sits and waits till they're given an urge by the Spirit to speak, and then they speak.
Nothing to say until you got something to say.
Yeah, got something to say.
Is that what it shows us in the 1 Corinthians 14?
Yeah, I bet it does.
Let the prophet speak to us, or let the other judge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We don't see a lot of the judgment, but that is really what's going on.
Yeah.
And then he made the comment, which surprised me. Yeah, he says, "Well, Keith doesn't preach anymore." He said, "Keith hasn't preached formally for years."
Yes, that's true.
I mean, an actual sermon, you know,
mm-hmm.
all by itself.
We don't see that. We see nothing about anything like we see in the church, in the scriptures.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the scriptures about it.
And I apologize, Jeff, for sharing what you said, but it was edifying.
Oh, it was edifying, yeah. You know, the sermons that you see preached, like in the book of Acts or by Jesus, they are to the unbelievers or whatever. You know, Peter, there on the day of Pentecost, preached, that was the sermon he preached, but it was to people that were to be converted, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
Jesus, it was the new message, I guess.
Yeah, so it's really an act of evangelism is what sermons should be, rather than...
Yeah, yeah, it can be used. That, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It is, Charlie, except for one problem. What we have here is missing from the church. The prophetic thing where you're, where people are learning,
yes,
the scriptures. And so they have evangelism, and they preach evangelism, and they preach for salvation, to be saved, over and over and over and over. And after a while,
yeah, that's
the people that are going there are all saved, mm-hmm, theoretically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what do you have? You have food, you have baby food that you're preaching, you know what I mean? It doesn't go anywhere. Did I say that right? I meant to.
It is...
Well, it doesn't continue going.
No, right. It is funny that, you know, I've been familiar with 1 Corinthians 14 for decades, you know? Since the 1980s. That never crashed through to me until...
Yeah.
Just...
Yeah, me either.
Last career.
Until, you know, the strange thing about it, you know, what is the ministry of a prophet? Well, he predicts the future. Mm. And that would have been my, if somebody would have asked me several years ago, what does a prophet do? Well, he tells you what's going to happen in the future. I didn't know that the ministry of a prophet was to edify the body, was to exhort the body and to comfort the body. I didn't know that. Yeah. Till one day we saw it.
And you know, though, when Peter stands up, he actually is prophesying the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he was saying everything that was in the Scripture of before and with Jesus, what Jesus had said.
Yes. I don't know that the two are exclusive.
Yeah.
So
if you're going to give a sermon, let it be the Word of God.
Yeah, right.
Right.
The house of Israel.
Don't let it be your thing.
That's right.
Which most sermons are.
That's right.
Generally. I mean, we were guilty of all of us of that. I know I was.
So he said, let the house of Israel know assured.
Three times that I did.
That God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Yeah. And, of course, they didn't know that.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when prophecy is acting as prophecy should, it's the two or three and let the others judge, you know. You don't get that's not what's going on with Peter there.
Oh, no.
You know, so a mature expression of prophecy would be the you know, the group, rather than a sermon, you know.
But the thing that I have emphasized, and I don't know how many people have caught it, is the fact that Matthew stood right behind Peter on the day of Pentecost while he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Mm. Matthew is the one that wrote 28:19.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
So
yep.
Something isn't right somewhere.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I think the Lord left that in there for the unbeliever. If you want to get tangled up, go for it.
See, now, so kind of the way you said it, Charlie, so I'm going to ask this because I'm not really sure, but so what if you're by yourself and you proclaim the Word of God? Is that prophecy?
Yeah, I wonder.
You know, even though there's nobody there because...
Yeah. I guess.
I don't know where, you know.
I would say probably it's more, you know, it's not the highest expression of it.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't well, be non-prophetic.
I was going to say, I think what we're finding out is prophecy has a lot of avenues. Or, has a lot more to it than just one specific...
Well, I
want to kind of come back to that, what you just said, because how many people have made the testimony that they received the Spirit or received tongues by themselves?
Yeah.
So you want to... Which is probably the biggest... one of the biggest gifts towards the Spirit, so I don't know that... Maybe it's just me in the way I think, but I wouldn't want to limit how or why God's Spirit would move, and it couldn't be viewed as if it was singular versus in a group.
Well, I guess that's right, except, prophecy is intended to edify others, so...
I guess, yeah, the definite others. If you're reading Scripture and...
maybe you could have a prophetic...
You could get a revelation.
You get a revelation. Maybe that should be...
And you would share that.
Prophet.
But, I don't know. I mean...
Yeah, I don't know if that's called prophecy or not.
Well, maybe we got to keep reading 14 because maybe it shows different aspects of that.
1 Corinthians 14 again?
Yeah. I'm just thinking of looking at that again because now that we brought this up.
He's talking about meetings.
Yeah, this is true.
In that context.
Right, there in 1 Corinthians 14. What you should do in a meeting. Now, I don't know. I don't know if he's limiting all prophetic to
experience
meetings.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I mean, what Peter was bringing there on the day of Pentecost was prophetic.
Yeah,
that was prophetic.
Right.
And just because he didn't have the prophets judging and all,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's probably different. Not gifts of the prophecy, but different. There's a word there. I know it fits, but I can't come up with it. I wanted to say different handles, but that's kind of crude. If you start out in 26, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So that's another aspect.
Mm. Well, right, and it says has. So you may have already received the revelation, and then when you come together, to share it.
Suppose I'd rule that out, sure. Mm-hmm.
But here they're talking about, body edification. So, I understand the context. I was just trying to push back a little bit, saying, we can receive from the Spirit individually. You don't have to be in a group setting.
You get a revelation by yourself, sure.
Now, well, on the other hand, Scripture says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am. So it certainly would imply that if you're in a group, it is very likely that he is there.
I don't know if it rules out the possibility of when you're by yourself, if something comes to you.
It just seems like people have had an awful lot of experiences when they've been praying or whenever.
Well, I was trying to go back to where Peter starts out.
Shelley,
standing up with the 11.
Yeah, can I call you here about 5 minutes? We're okay. I'll call you back. Okay. Goodbye.
Raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. And then he quotes Joel. And then he says, Men of Israel, hear these words. And then he starts saying who Jesus of Nazareth was. Nazareth, mm-hmm. and goes on and gives the whole spiel.
Yeah.
Well, he clearly got that revelation and he clearly shared it.
I think that has to be characterized as prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, but prophecy has a lot of different aspects.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Well, there is. That's the other case.
Aspects of prophecy.
In that prophecy that Peter is, he's not predicting the future. He's revealing the truth about
bringing the Old Testament to what and putting it with who Jesus was.
Yeah. In the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter of Ephesians, it says that when he ascended on high, but he left when he went up, he gave gifts unto men. You know, he gave gifts. He gave apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. Well, he gave these gifts, but the gifts had to depend on subject. It can't be just out of somebody's mind or, you know, it can't be false doctrine.
That's right.
It has to be truth.
That's not a gift from Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Speaking the truth in love, they grow up into him. That's in the fourth chapter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it has to be, whoever they are, have to be preaching truth. They have to be preaching the Word of God. They can't be preaching church doctrine that doesn't even resemble the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be. And so we look at the fourth chapter, and it's the gift, the ministry or these people or whoever they are, the effect is going to be they're going to bring a unity of the faith. They're going to bring people into a oneness of the Spirit. You know what I mean? It's going to come into this is going to be the effect of whatever those people are. So you can't have some people in the Spirit and some people not in the Spirit. Some people in the Word and some people not in the Word. It's got to be all of the people have to be in the Word. Do you follow me?
I don't know if I quite do.
Okay, well, let me say it again. The ones you can't have a mixed.
It's multitude.
A mixed group. You have to have either they have to be in the Word, all of them in the Word, or cause you can't have some of them in the Word and some of them not in the Word. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, but if you're out addressing somebody to win them, but you can't have them doing what it says about the prophets.
Yeah,
no, that's not what I meant. But what I meant is, okay, he gave five different gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers.
Mm.
Okay, so, and what are they? Some of these are going to be out of the Word, and some of them are going to be out of the church doctrine.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you couldn't have that. You're right.
No, you can't have it. Some of that, they all have to be either one or the other.
Yeah. If all those gifts are, yes.
If the gifts are going to operate accurately, they got to be Word-based. Do you follow me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Heaven. Right.
Yes, that's right.
And we don't have Word-based right now. We have church after church has their own doctrine. You can't have that's unity through diversity, which doesn't make any sense scripturally. You either got to have the Word of God or you have something else. You're not born again by corruptible seed. You're born again only by incorruptible.
Amen.
You're changed by the Word of God. You're not changed by somebody else, some other theology. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen. Yep.
So those five gifts, even though he used those gifts on the men, those gifts are based upon the Word of God. They're not based on something else. They're founded on God's Word. Mm-hmm. And the effects of it in the fourth chapter of Ephesians shows that it has to be grounded on the Word of God or they'd never come up to the speaking the truth in love. How can you speak the truth in love if you don't have the Word of God in you to start with?
You know, yeah.
Short answer is you can't.
Yeah.
There's, you know, it says that in Ephesians, right?
Yeah.
But also in 1 Corinthians 12, now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues.
So it's like it comes at it from a couple different ways, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to just think that Ephesians is the only gifts given in that realm. Because in Corinthians, it's saying there's others that go with that, you know?
How do those coincide? What's those gifts that are noted in Ephesians compared with what there in verse 12?
It only lists like three in Corinthians. I think it lists five in Ephesians.
Yeah.
Does it call them gifts or what's it call them?
In where?
In Corinthians.
Well, it says appoints these at first, apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues.
In Ephesians, or in 1 Corinthians 14, it sounds like the prophet is actually a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He gets by being a prophet, he gets a revelation from God, and he passes it on, that you may all learn. Well, you know what? That's a lot different than a guy standing up and preaching his own agenda.
Yes.
That's individually you get a revelation and you pass it on. Revelation that you may all learn, that you may all learn, that you may all learn. So that
I have a hard time distinguishing between prophet and teachers. I mean, you know, it's kind of like they're both doing the same, really.
Maybe teachers instruct on the word. Not that the Spirit wouldn't be on it, but, you know.
That's the way I was kind of approaching it, too.
You know,
I'm trying to understand.
Going through a verse, you know, in Isaiah, and go through it, and you know, and it's kind of say, well, what must be here? This must mean this or something, you know.
More of a letter,
teacher. One was, you know, you read your Bible because you want to know the word. But then you read your Bible, and the Holy Spirit comes with that, and all of a sudden there's a revelation that you didn't get just by reading the word. And I kind of view it as one is more of a natural based. Teachers are more of a natural or.
It might have a legitimate place, though.
Yeah. You know? Still need to know what's said.
Right.
I mean,
recently I've been kind of seeing teachers that it would be like if you say, I want to point you to this in the Word.
Which ought to be prophetic, you would think.
Well, but point to you that there are prophets. Point to you that, you know, I mean, directing kind of. And
yeah.
Well, that's how I was sort of looking at the difference. I'm not saying I have it right.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not, that's why I brought it up, because I wasn't.
So it says prophets, teachers.
Right.
It's just both words. In the same
they're separated, yeah.
You know what's interesting? Jesus says, don't call anyone your teacher.
I know. That's why in the last five, 10 years, I don't like that kind of teacher.
Gotcha.
Don't
call anyone your teacher, for one is your teacher, the Christ.
Well, and we didn't, it wasn't said, but when we quoted Ephesians 4:11, we even skipped one of them and said, you know, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors.
Yeah, what
some
are these teachers. Pastors, anyway?
Yeah, we kind of didn't even talk about pastors. But if you look at this, some would argue that there's a hierarchy being described here, too.
Maybe.
Between apostles who set up churches, evangelists who talk about God, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And, you know, I always equated teachers to like Bible studies, and I equate prophets to the spirit of God working.
Mm-hmm. Sunday school teachers.
Well,
but if any one of them, if any ministry does not go by the word of God, it's not a ministry of the church.
Well, yes,
yes, so that's right.
The foundation always has to be on the word.
And so what we have is not the Word. That's what I'm trying to say. The church does not go by God's word. I don't know of any church that does.
Heck, there's churches who think they do. Just ask them. I knew a church that thought they did.
Yeah, I think that's...
And would have aggressively argued the point with you if you chose to say, no, you don't do that. Oh, yes, we do.
That'd be pretty disgusting.
It would have been a real in-your-face conversation. but the point was, they were not coming at it with love and or with the anointing of God.
I mean, I think for years now, I've wanted that more clarified.
What these teachers?
Yeah, those ministries there, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think God will clear it up for us.
Yeah, I do too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure either.
But it is funny though.
Yeah, I mean, because if you prophesy, you're sharing what you feel is revelation, but you're always qualifying by you have to go to the Word of God to make sure it's backed up by the Word.
Uh-huh.
I guess you could be teaching and say the same thing.
Yeah. Well, now maybe there might be some prophetic elements to what a teacher does.
Right.
You know, but it's more the focus or the emphasis.
But this is not this particular point that we're discussing is not talking about. It could be all in one person. Could it?
I don't see why it couldn't be.
Well, Paul asks. Right after he says what he says, he goes, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings?
They're all separate.
He's making it sound like, everybody doesn't have all of those.
True, but I...
You could, I
took it the other way. But are you going to say the teacher's not... Are you going to say the apostle's not a teacher? Or the apostle can't be a prophet.
Right. So you can have a couple. You can have a two or three.
There are different gifts, but that's not to say one person couldn't act and could not have more than one of those gifts.
Right. So a prophet...
Operating at different times.
Yeah. A prophet can... Like Peter. Well, we know he's a prophet and we know he had a gift of healing, for example. So you can...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he was certainly evangelizing.
Right.
And he certainly was a prophet. So, yeah, he was a prophet and he... Yeah, no. So...
One of the other apostles may have not been doing that, but they might have too.
Peter was the first pope, was he?
That's right. He got the keys of the kingdom.
You were trying to slip a funny in there. Yeah. Who was the first leader of the church?
He's trying to mess with it, Corky.
Yeah, I tell you, he's trying to hook a old cold Catholic on that one.
I wonder when Jesus says, don't call anyone your teacher because there's
only one, yeah.
But, okay, so Jesus is just the uppermost teacher. But he's also saying don't call anyone your teacher. It's like I don't know that we should call each other.
Maybe that's important.
Teacher Ken. Or Prophet Charlie. You know what I mean?
That might be right. That might be important.
Maybe Doctor Johnny, whatever. Yeah,
don't label this gift.
Don't
label this gift. Right. You may have this gift, but don't label it.
You know, the same thing happens with Father.
Yeah.
I call no man father.
Yeah. And then Paul goes, well, I'm your father, basically.
Yeah, but don't call him father.
I do think you're probably onto it.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the Holy Spirit that is doing the operating.
Right.
Once you get this mantle of teacher on you,
whether
the Spirit is on you or not, then you...
Didn't Paul, like Paul, didn't he manifest all five of the things?
I would say that
he had a healing ministry.
Right.
He preached the gospel. He set up churches. He, he did all of the things that all five ministries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
He probably was a teacher.
And he had to be a teacher.
Possibly he was a pastor.
But that doesn't... But, you know, it's the answer to the other side of the question.
Yeah, I admit that too. Which is on top of it all.
There are people that will get gifts and they may not get all five. They may get one.
Right.
And to recognize that as well. I mean, there's not a lot of Pauls walking around.
No.
Even we don't have a lot of Pauls to point to.
Does it say that there are you all prophets? Does it use the word prophet?
Yeah. Yes.
Because
apostles, prophets.
But does it, when you say, do you all have a gift of healing? Do you all have a? Does it also say prophets? You know, are you all prophets? Because I would imagine if you have the gift of healing, how can you not prophesy? You know what I mean?
I think the point he's making is that all these things are distributed, though.
Yeah.
Right. They're all distributed.
They can be.
I look at this as kind of a warning to you, natural man. No, don't think you're an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist.
Right.
You very likely might have a gift. Don't assume you have all gifts.
Right.
And that,
that's a good point.
And I think that's kind of the way I...
And that is a healthy body. When you've got to rely on different people, you know, you're not complete without a number of people pitching in and doing the Lord's work.
Even in our group, it's clear some of us have a propensity for one over the other.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I can't imagine somebody having a gift of healing, for example, without prophesying at some point.
And I think that's a legitimate point.
If you're in the body
in the body, yes.
People are prophesying, and then maybe it changes, and someone says, "I'm in need," and somebody walks up and goes,
"He has this vision about my wife, who I would tell you she's not a prophet,
but she can prophesy."
Yeah,
she has been used. That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
In fact, she would say, "I'm really not sure what's going on here, but I feel like I gotta say this."
Well, the
more
common gift of them all is prophet.
It's gotta be.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's what it looked like.
God reveals something, and then
you hear it.
Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy.
And let's not forget the word that is a gift. You know, it's given to you. It's not, you don't buy it.
Yeah. You don't come up with it.
You develop it. You don't decide that you're going to be a prophet.
I'm going to heal today.
My favorite line, I'm going to go to church and I have a little bit of spirit.
That daughter of mine out in Seattle calls, so I have to call her back.
I don't have to.
What's more important?
You're making the choice to quench the spirit to have a natural moon to come.
You did that, Shelly? you see how much respect you
got? Wheel him to the back room.
Yeah. We love you, Shelly. Honest.
But anyway,
it's probably enough for tonight. Love you all.